Maryland's Senate and House yesterday approved a bill that would force private employers with a workforce of more than 10,000 to put at least 8% of their payroll costs into health insurance for those employees, or pay that money into Maryland's health plan for the poor. So far, there is only one employer in Maryland that fits that description, Walmart. Joining us now from the state capitol in Annapolis is David Nitkin, State House Bureau Chief for the Baltimore Sun. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
My pleasure, Neil. Thank you.
Did the sponsors of this legislation set out to take on Walmart?
Well, they claim not, but the bill is what we call in Annapolis a red-headed Eskimo right now. It affects only one company, as you say. It affects Walmart, and no one really backs away from the fact that this bill does target Walmart, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does this bill specifically require such an employer to do?
What it requires is the employer report to the state its payroll, total payroll, if it has more than 10,000 workers, and it needs to show that what percentage of its payroll cost is being spent on health care. And if it does not spend 8% of its payroll on health care, it has to pay the difference to the state of Maryland as a tax. It's 8% for for-profit employers and a lower amount, 6%, for non-profit employers such as the Johns Hopkins University.
And do they have 10,000 employees?
They do. There are four entities in Maryland that have more than 10,000, Johns Hopkins, Northrop Grumman, Giant Food, and Walmart, and only one of those four does not meet the mandatory threshold, and that's Walmart.
And that is Walmart. Now, did Walmart put up a fight against this?
They did. They lobbied pretty aggressively against it, as did other business interests in Maryland, and it was sort of a classic fight between pro-business Republicans and generally more liberal-leaning Democrats in the legislature, and with heavily Democratic majorities in both chambers, the Democrats won out.
What's going to happen when this bill hits the desk of Governor Robert Ehrlich, a Republican?
Ehrlich is a Republican. He's a pro-business Republican, and he has indicated he would veto it. The word we got from his spokeswoman yesterday was in a heartbeat, which would set up a veto override effort. In the Senate, the legislation passed with a veto-proof majority, and they're very close to that in the House, although there were some supporters say there was some of their votes were absent the day the vote was taken, so they think they have the support for an override.
Now, any other states looking at this legislation with interest?
Well, we believe they are. There was some testimony that Maryland was prepared to be a national model on this. One of the key backers of this legislation, the chairman of our Health and Government Operations Committee, Delegate John Herson, is a president of the National Conference of State Legislatures. So you're sure that this will be getting a lot of play around there. I heard today from U.S. Representative Chris Van Hollen of the Washington area here in Maryland, who says he thinks this could be a model for national legislation.
Now, one thing in the past when various legislatures or city councils have tried to rein in Walmart by zoning restrictions or other things, they have proved extraordinarily adept at finding loopholes or ways out of things. Can they just organize into two companies with 5,000 employees each?
Well, that's a very good question, and they may be able to do something like that. There was some discussion, and I don't think the legislature, from my looking at the amendments and how the bill progressed, made a great effort to prevent something like that. But also interestingly, there was testimony from Walmart that in fact that right now their health care spending in Maryland is between 7% and 8%. So perhaps a more likely scenario is that they somehow look at their books and come up with a number that actually does meet this 8% threshold.
Now, you mentioned the nonprofit Johns Hopkins, for example,
right,
that also fits the category.
Right.
What was their reaction to the bill?
There was a fair amount of opposition from many quarters. I think Johns Hopkins felt that, and many of the other institutions felt that they knew they weren't going to be captured in this net. So they weren't very vocal in their opposition. As your first question to me, did people know they were just going after Walmart? I think that pretty much was the consensus. So some of the other players, while they opposed it, they were not as vocal in their opposition.
So given you're now expecting a veto from the governor, given the legislative schedule, how long is it before we're going to know whether his veto will be overridden?
The way it works here in Maryland is that veto overrides come as the first order of business the next time the General Assembly meets. Now, we meet in Maryland for 90 days. Next Monday, April 11th, is the final day of the 90-day session. So unless there's a special session for some reason, which is unusual in Maryland, we won't know about a veto override actually until January 2006, and a lot could change between now and then.
Okay, well, thanks very much for joining us today. I just have to mention, must be hard to be working inside today.
You know, it's a beautiful day outside, and thank goodness for laptops.
David Nitkin, thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, bye-bye.
David Nitkin is State House Bureau Chief for the Baltimore Sun, and he joined us from the Capitol there in a glorious sunny day in Annapolis, Maryland.